We're going to look at that a little bit today and help us understand what these verses are talking about. And hopefully you'll walk away with a greater understanding what this passage is talking about. Now, and we're going to look at what the stronghold in the Bible was. We're going to look at the different cities that were strongholds. But this is more a mental thing. You see what the Bible says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." If you would remember that when we went through our series about every book of the Bible, the book of 2 Corinthians is probably the most personal book that Paul had written. After 1 Corinthians, there was a bunch of different sins that happened in Corinth, and Paul had written that letter, wanted to see how they responded. They responded well, but there was a problem. These other religious leaders, these Judaizers, these other people, enter into the church of Corinth, and they start stirring up trouble. They start causing problems. And they begin to have the church of Corinth start thinking bad about the Apostle Paul. And they draw everything into question. They begin drawing his authority into a question. They begin talking about grace, and they begin talking about his character and his willingness to serve and things like that. They begin questioning the great Apostle Paul. What they did is they listened to some faulty information, and they developed a stronghold in their mind. And every time when something happened, they would always revert back to that stronghold that was in their mind. And this is the idea of what a definition of strongholds is. A definition of strongholds. A stronghold is something in your mind that you believe and you act upon, but it is not always something that is true. And if we examine, and this kind of gets the idea, the reason why I was excited about doing this series on the time that we have for our theme this year, A Proper Vision, is that sometimes we got to strip away the things that we have allowed in our mind, allowed the devil to put in our minds that is contrary to the Word of God and contrary to what the Bible says, and re-examine it. Honestly looking underneath the guidance of the Holy Spirit and looking at the Scriptures, what is really truth and what have we allowed to become a stronghold in our lives? And that's where, in your verses there, that's why it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing and exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. It's obvious here that you're talking about their mind. He's talking about their thought process. He's not talking about some strong city like the Jericho or some place that they would run into in ancient times. He's saying, look, you allowed these things, and that's what they're accusing the Apostle Paul of, doing things fleshly and doing things by the flesh. He says, look, we don't walk after the flesh. We walk in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. It'd be amazed how many strongholds people have put in their lives. They allow the devil to change their thinking according to what the Bible says. And what our hope is today is we're going to cast down these strongholds. We're going to pull down these strongholds. And through this series, we want to take an open and honest look to what the Bible says. It's not just what the preacher says, and hopefully what the preacher says is what the Bible says, but there are so many things that people had put in their minds. I'll give you a couple examples. When I was coming to North Carolina, almost 12 years ago, I talked to Pastor Thompson. There was the need here, and I was thinking to myself, when I came to North Carolina, the only representation I had in North Carolina was my brother-in-law, Dave. And Dave is kind of he would even say he's from the mountains of Boone. He's a little bit of a hillbilly. I'm not saying the wrong way, you know, but he talked funny. So everything I knew about North Carolina, now, everything I knew about North Carolina was that there's a bunch of mountains, there's a bunch of snow, and everybody talks funny. So when I think I'm coming to Elizabeth City, I think there's going to be a bunch of mountains, a bunch of snow, and everyone's going to talk funny. Well, I get here, there isn't a mountain to be found. There's not even a hill. There are ditches, though. And then I find out it's not going to snow, which, hallelujah for that. And then there was really only one person that really talked funny, because I didn't talk to too many, that many people noticed, and it was Lauren Lamb that talked funny. Of all the kids in the youth group, nobody else really talked with that much of a southern accent. I know I've known you some of you a little bit more, and some of you talk a little bit more with a southern accent than when I first picked up, but I was thinking I'm going to come to a church, and I had built up from some misinformation in my own thinking that my brother-in-law was just like everyone in North Carolina, and I love my brother-in-law. He's a nice man. He helps serves at a church. He works on the bus routes and teaches a bus church. And he does a great job. He doesn't live in Boone anymore. But, I mean, what he was proud of being from North Carolina. And when he came up north, he liked to brag about, you know, all the mountains, all the snow. And I thought that's what North Carolina was going to be like. I was wrong. I had to develop a stronghold in my mind until I came to Elizabeth City and saw no mountains, no snow, and most people talk normal than what I would consider normal. See, the northern people are laughing right now. So, you think about it. There are things we allow that comes into our minds, and it becomes truth to us. There's an article I read about it before Russia became open a little bit. It says, talk about a Russian pastor who was on a missionary trip. He says, for the first time in 70 years, they were going to be allowed openly to pass out Bibles and tracts and witness instead of having to do it secretly. In the article, he talked about an eye-opening conversation they had with their guide, a young Russian woman named Valentina. She was an excellent guide, well-educated in the events of Russian history, and this is what she told the people that she was guiding. She says, I was a devout communist from childhood. I was reared and educated in the Marxist system, and I believe it to be the best in the world. I believe the people in the West mostly lived in poverty and had great scarcity of food and other necessities. Then, unexpectedly, I was given the privilege of going to London. I arrived late at night. The first place I wanted to visit the next morning was a supermarket. And as I entered the door and saw the vast array of all sorts of food, I stood as if frozen. Suddenly, I knew I had believed a lie. And the truth is, the devil plants lies in our minds, and we allow them sometimes to become strongholds. I guess giving you a couple examples of what the Bible is speaking of when it talks about strongholds. A stronghold is something in your mind that you believe and you act upon, but is not always something that is true. And that's what I'm saying, that we should look underneath the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God and under the words of scriptures from God's word, what truth is. And I tell you, there are some things that we have let the devil just change our thinking about that is just contrary to what the word of God says. And this is what the Bible is referring to as a stronghold that needs to be pulled down. Now, the word stronghold, we know, references in the Bible times to a fortress or a fortified city. For example, you think about the walls of Jericho. It came when they first crossed the Jordan River. That was a stronghold. Why do you think it was a stronghold? Because these walls are so great and so strong, there was nothing that they could do to be able to conquer these walls on their own. Historians and archaeologists tell us that the wall around Jericho was so thick that two chariots could ride side by side around the top. It was so thick that people actually built their houses and lived inside the wall. Now, here's a couple pictures. I know that's probably not the walls of Jericho, but it was a rendition of it, of what the walls could have looked like. And this is what is considered a stronghold, is that people, when they had a danger and they saw people coming and warriors or people going to attack, they would go and run inside a certain city, and they would trust in the city to hold them and to keep them safe. And what we do mentally is sometimes when we come across circumstances or adverse circumstances, we run to a certain stronghold we have put in our mind, and we run to either a good stronghold or a bad stronghold. We run into something that we have built up to protect us. Instead of allowing God to work in our hearts and minds, sometimes we take and we run to a stronghold of a lie and deception. Some other pictures of strongholds. This is an actual picture of somebody, something that they would run into to try to keep them safe. We remember the walls of Babylon, the great stronghold that was there, and then how the people came in through the water. And then we also think there's another spot of a more medieval time of a stronghold that they would go and do. Now, Jericho is a good example. Jericho is a good example of the Israelites. They get to Jericho. There's no way they can break that stronghold. And once again, I don't know if these pictures are realistic or not. I typed in images of strongholds, and those were the three coolest ones I found. So I thought it would help some. But Jericho is a perfect example. There is no way they could have gotten to the walls of Jericho without God's help. And there is no way. Remember, we walk after the flesh, but we do not war after. We war after the flesh. Look what it says in verse 1. For we walk in the flesh, but do not war after the flesh. You know, Israel could not destroy Jericho by themselves. They needed God's help. That's when it's talking about in verse number 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we're going to have to learn that we need God's help to pull down these strongholds in ourselves. Now, when we talk about imagination, we think about maybe fancy things or people that dream up all type of impossible ideas. That's not what Paul's talking about here. Paul is talking about a calculated thought that we have allowed to determine our actions by. These are developed thoughts. These are things that we have allowed the devil or someone else to make a calculated thought in our mind. And if we're going to pull down these strongholds, it requires casting down the calculated thoughts. And as that's what these verses are talking about in verse number 5. Casting down the imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What this is teaching us here, if we're going to pull down these strongholds, we need God's help because these are things that we have allowed to become strongholds in our life. Now, I know we need to move quickly. There's two different types of strongholds. First, I want you to consider a bad stronghold. We're going to name it here in a second. A bad stronghold is a faulty thinking pattern based on lies and deceptions. Remember that testimony from that girl that was from Russia. She had been sold a lie. She had bought into a lie. She had believed a lie. And because of that, she caused her thinking to be this way. Now, when I first became the assistant pastor of Faith Baptist Church, I learned something very quickly. I had worked with people for many, many years, but being an assistant pastor or youth pastor is something a little bit different than managing people. And I come to realize that that teenagers do not always tell the truth. Sometimes they embellish things to make their side of the story look better. I don't know, and not only teenagers do that, but we do that too. But just because teenagers aren't in here, we'll pick on them for a second. Well, I would hear horror stories about what happened in this person's house and what happened at this person's house and what happened at this person's house and what happened at this person's house. And I would begin to think, well, I know some of these parents. They seem pretty nice. That seems like a little bit too much. I'm talking about horror stories. I'm not talking about abuse and things like that. I'm just talking about that doesn't seem like that person's parents and that doesn't seem like that person. I learned very quickly to get to both sides of both stories. And I would meet with the teenager's parents, and very honestly, I would tell them, look, I will not believe everything your child says about you if you do not believe everything your child says about me. Because the truth is, they're going to go home, and they're going to sell their side of the story, and their side of the story is going to paint a bad picture, possibly, of the youth pastor if things did not go the way that they were. The idea is there is faulty information that is out there. There is lies and deceptions. And the truth is, the devil can bring thoughts into your mind. Remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira? And Peter said, Ananias, why have Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back a part of the price of the land? Ananias and Sapphira had sold the land. It was their money, but they pretended to give it all. And they were lying to God. They were lying to the Holy Ghost because the thought the devil had put in their mind. Now, the devil's going to put thoughts in all of our minds. He is going to try to cause us to have strongholds that are get us the wrong view of God, not to have a proper vision, not to have a right vision. And he is going to give us faulty thinking patterns. Now, the thought is not wickedness. The thought that comes into our mind does not mean that we are sinning. It's how we react to those thoughts. A bad stronghold is not a random thought that happens to be wrong. Every one of us has thoughts that pop into our mind that are inaccurate, illogical, and ungodly. Sometimes even good Christians might have thoughts of killing themselves or leaving their mate or committing some other great sin. But that you're not responsible for those thoughts that pop into your mind. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop him from building a nest there. And what that means is that you're not going to stop the thoughts coming into your mind, but what you do with those thoughts and you take and you consider those thoughts and you let those thoughts become a stronghold is as if a bird that's building a nest is because you've allowed it to stay there. The Church of Corinth had this type of stronghold. The Church of Corinth had listened to some faulty thinking. They had a negative opinion about the Apostle Paul. Paul was their father in faith, the one who had led them to Christ. And instead of listening to his message, and instead of responding to his truth, instead of accepting godly instruction, they gave to them to better and improve their lives, they became negative and they became critical. They began attacking his personal character. They began attacking his teaching. They began attacking his attitudes. And in response to these attacks, Paul writes his personal epistle, and he has been forced to boast about certain things in his life just to validate his apostolic apostle authority and consequently the grace of God. And that's where he's talking about here. And he's saying to these men and these women of this church, look, you've allowed this to be a stronghold. We need to cast down the imaginations. We need to, every high thought that exalted itself in the knowledge of God, we need to get rid of it. We need to stop thinking this way. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 10:10. It says, and this is what they were saying about him. It says, for his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. And Paul here in this passage of scripture, you look in verses 1 and 2, it talks about how Paul is saying, I want to deal with these things so that way we can get it right. So when I come, I don't have to act all in charge. And I want these things to get fixed before he comes. And what did they do? They had a stronghold. They had a wrong thinking about the Apostle Paul. And because of that, it caused great tension. It caused his church almost to split. And it caused a lot of problems. Why? Because they had developed a stronghold in their mind against the man of God. Now, it's not just the man of God that the devil can do that with. The devil can go over there and get you some faulty thinking about a good Christian lady or a good godly man and says, you know what? They said this or they did this and this is how they reacted. The devil allows things to pop in your mind, and what we need to be careful of is that we do not allow these things to become strongholds. Consider two different types of strongholds. Here is the process of building a stronghold. When you get a wrong thought or idea, you will be convicted by the Spirit of God. If you're trying to live for God, you're trying to learn of God, you're in God's Word, when you get a wrong thought, something will come to your mind. Hey, that doesn't sound right. Hey, there's something fishy about that. That sounds contrary to what the Bible says or what the preacher's been preaching. And when we are confronted with the Scripture, we have two choices. You can either run toward the stronghold of truth in the Word of God, or you can run to the stronghold that is of wrong thinking. See, a stronghold is a place where you get, where you go when you're under attack. It is a place to protect you. And strongholds, whether they are protective strongholds or they are prison type of strongholds, it determines on what you desire and what you run to. A prison stronghold is what we call the bad thinking. The choice of strongholds that you make determines whether you'll be protected from danger or protected from truth. And many times we don't want to believe a certain thing about ourselves. So we don't want to believe a certain thing about the Bible. And we just say, this can't be right. And we run to a stronghold of something we've allowed faulty thinking to take over. And you will be protected from danger or protected from truth. Prison strongholds keep us from the freedom and from the truth. These strongholds keep us from the liberty that Christ has purchased for us. He has a desire for us. He has a desire, the deliverance God intends for us to enjoy. He wants us to be able to have strongholds in the Word of God and be able to run when we have problems. We run into His refuge. We run to Him. We run to His Word. And that is what protects us. This is what we hold to. But a prison stronghold is one that's faulty thinking. It goes against what the Bible says, but it's amazing what some people will believe. Think about some examples of strongholds, and we're going to have to go over these quickly, but these are things I've heard people say, and we can make this list a mile long. Devil will try to convince you that God doesn't love you. There's people out there, because of problems that happen in their lives, because maybe someone, they lost a loved one or a sickness, they'll say, nope, God doesn't care about me. I had a need. He didn't meet my need. God must not love me. And that's just untrue. But see what faulty thinking will do. If you get one thought that the devil introduces in your mind and it makes sense according to the flesh, and you begin looking at things and understanding things from that faulty thinking, it builds up to being a stronghold. And when someone has something bad happens, you run right back to that and think, you know what? God really doesn't love me. Even though the preacher might say, even though you might read in the Word, you have something that's in your mind. That's what a stronghold is. There is no hell. I've had people say that. I say, well, do you believe what the Bible says? Yes, I believe what the Bible says. And I show them. He says, nope, it's not real. There's even a religion out there today that's based off, they says, oh, there's no hell. And why is that? It's because there's been a stronghold that's been placed in people's minds. They want to believe something. They have a faulty thinking. They don't have their words anchored in the Word of God. Their strongholds is not found in the pages of the Bible. It's not found in their relationship with Jesus Christ. It's found in their own thought process, and they allow these things to become developed. There is no hope. There is people out there who feel like there is no hope. There's no future. But the Bible is filled with hope. That's what we have. The struggles we have always accomplishes it with hope about it. Yes, we're going to face trials. Yes, we're going to face terrors. But the hope is not found in this world. The hope is found in Jesus Christ. The hope is found in what's going to come someday. My hope is Jesus. And that's the thing here. But people are like, no, there's no hope. There's no reason to live for God. There's no reason to do what's right because there is no... That is faulty thinking. That is a stronghold that must be pulled down. Why doesn't it be pulled down? Because it's contrary to what the Word of God says. I should get more notice for my service. Now, I've heard people say that. People stop coming to church because, well, so-and-so got notice, and this person got notice, and this... That's not why we serve. If you have the faulty thinking of the reason why I serve the Lord is so that way people will notice me and people will give me credit, you know what? That's faulty thinking. And then you'll become upset with me or upset with someone else because we don't recognize you. That's faulty thinking. My sin doesn't hurt me or anyone else. We live in a day that is so wicked and so wrong, and people just feel like they have justified their sin so much that God really doesn't care what I do. There's churches built, people that preach the gospel, but holy living is just thrown out right out the door. These community style churches many times. It doesn't hurt anybody. God doesn't really care what I do or say. God doesn't really, you know what? That there's a faulty thinking process there. And when anybody brings up holy living, when anybody brings up a biblical standard, you know what they do? They run right into that faulty thinking prison stronghold, and they no longer do they have the freedom to live the way that God wants them to live. No longer do they have freedom over sin because their thinking process has been all wrong. It becomes a stronghold in their life. Now, we looked at the prison strongholds, and the next one is considered the protection strongholds. Now, if you run to the truth, this protects you from wrong thinking. There is a stronghold of protection. In Bible times, and I love these verses, in Bible times, a stronghold was a fortress or a fortified city, and the Lord represents us here. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength. Now the psalmist is saying here, I'm not looking to anything else but God to be my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom will I trust? My buckler and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. See the difference there? One person will run into their thinking and they will run into the way that they thought, oh, there can't be hell. Maybe God doesn't love me, or maybe I just, no one took notice of me. No one loves me. No one cares. Or you can run to God and you can run to His Word and you can allow God's Word to be your protective stronghold. See the difference here. Paul was being, the church at Corinth had the wrong stronghold. They had these wrong opinions of Paul. And Paul says, let's look at this from a biblical way, from a biblical standpoint. He says, anything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, anything that has an imagination against the knowledge of God, let's get rid of that. Let's start right here with the basic. What is your stronghold going to be? What is it you're going to be thinking about? And this is the idea. It protects us. And there's plenty of verses in the Bible. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. Though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake, the swelling thereof Selah. Now he's saying, look, no matter what happens, if the whole world goes and crumbles away, God's my refuge. God's my strength. That's what a stronghold is. Now, when we start looking at things, when bad things happen and go the other way, we put ourselves in a prison because no longer are we free to serve God. No longer do we have God's backing. When something happens, something bad happens, you know, I turn to people with the Word of God and I say, here, this is what I believe. Oh, that's all you believe. You always bring the Bible up. Says, because that's my hope. That's my stronghold. That is what I live my life by. It's not by my own thoughts and by my own wants and my own desires. This is my stronghold. God becomes my stronghold. I don't have to answer for anything else. God is the one I go to and say, it's God, take it up with God. God says this in His Word. This is what God believes. And this is the path of the pulling down the strongholds. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So here we come to this question. Where will you run to? Remember, a stronghold is a place which you run when you are attacked. The question is, which stronghold will you run? Do you run to the prison stronghold based off of lies and deception? And the truth is, there are people, Christians, good Christians that have certain wrong thought patterns and have allowed faulty thought pattern, faulty thinking to destroy their lives. You know, if my husband doesn't treat me right, I don't have to submit. Or if my husband doesn't love me the way I don't have to do this. Or if my wife doesn't do this, I don't have to love her as Christ loved it. You know, faulty thinking, strongholds we've allowed to develop in their church. If the pastor doesn't preach a good message, I don't need to be faithful. If times are tough, I don't have to give. If the people I don't like, I don't have to be a witness to. Now, faulty thinking. And what type of stronghold are we going to run into? Because we're going to have problems. We're going to have something we have to turn to. We're going to have something that we look for. We're going to have something that we trust in, something we rely in. And the question is, where are we going to run? Do we run to the prison stronghold based on lies and deception? Or do we run to the protection stronghold based on the unchanging Word of God? Where do you go when you get down? Where do you go when you're upset? Where do you go when you feel sorry for yourself? When you lose your temper and really let someone have it? When life isn't going the way you want it to go, what is it that you turn to? We can turn to lies and deceptions, and that's going to make us feel better. But that puts us in a prison that we cannot turn to God, and we cannot turn to His Word because we're believing faulty thinking. Or we can run to the precious Word of God. Do you fall back on the false patterns of thinking? Or do you hold to the truth? Are you committed to believing that God is good and the Bible is true no matter how you feel or what circumstances you are? The battle really, truly lies in your mind. And my encouragement to us this next 7, 8, 9 weeks as we look at things, let's look at things according to what the Bible says. Not just what I say, but what the Bible says. And let's pull down any stronghold that we have in our life. And I probably have strongholds. There's probably some faulty thinking in my life when it comes to certain things that I want to clearly look at what the Bible says and have a proper vision of what the Word of God says. And I want to get rid of anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Because as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. I know some of you had to step out, and we'll finish up here real quick. I know some of you had to step out for ministry's sake. So if we come to this pulling down strongholds, let's start thinking about maybe something that we have allowed to come into our mind that we know is contrary to the Bible, and we've allowed things to change, whether it be my view on the Bible or giving or soul winning or church attendance or prayer or how I look to one another. Forgiving somebody is a huge thing that is a hard thing. Our faulty thinking pattern tells us, I don't have to forgive that person because he doesn't deserve it. But the Bible teaches us something different. The Bible teaches us the love that we're supposed to have. And this is not easy. And as I told you before, we went through that mind series, there is a lot that we can learn. But if we take and learn the things about our mind and we do not pull down the strongholds of our life, it's never going to change anything. So let's look here at what the Bible says. And Paul was telling this church, you're thinking about it all wrong. You've got some faulty thinking, some faulty mindsets, and we need to change the way you're thinking. And that's what the idea of pulling down strongholds is. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Lord, I'm thankful for the people that are here. Lord, they're such a blessing. I'm thankful for their faithfulness and their willingness to serve. But Lord, I pray, I know we go through many series and have many lessons, that we hope with an open heart, ask you to reveal to us any type of maybe faulty thinking that we have in our hearts and lives. Lord, these things could be strongholds that have been there for years upon years upon years, that when we have a problem or an issue, we run right into them. That we let that protect us from the truth of the Word of God and from the changing that God really desires to do in our hearts and lives. Lord, speak to our hearts about the need that we have to pull down strongholds. Lord, speak to us this upcoming weeks. In Jesus' name, amen.